one soul ring.
Sometimes I'm so tempted to do the cadence thing just to fry. Like, I'm so good at doing
it's like, dude, just press record, okay? It's not a big thing. He's like,
yeah, but on what syllable? Is it on the re or the chord? Because they're different.
I just got to keep you on your toes.
I think that's a perfect intro to the show. Everybody, welcome one and all to Turn One Soul Ring. I'm Kevin.
Hey-o, I'm Eric.
And I'm Riley.
And today on the show, we are continuing our Innistrad Midnight Hunt set review with part two. Last week, we covered the white and blue cards from the set. Not all the cards, because, of course, if you're familiar with our set reviews, then you know that they're not exhaustive. We cover the cards we're interested in playing with in the formats that we play. We covered the Woo part of Wooburg last week. So this week we're going to talk about the black and yes, exactly. Took the words right out of my mouth. And then we'll wrap things up next week with the green, gold, colorless and land cards. But let's just get right to it today with our first.
Well, first of all, though, Kevin, people can find us on Instagram at TurnOneSoaringThePodcast. You can also get us directly via email, TurnOneSoaringThePodcast@gmail.com. We throw everything up on YouTube. TurnOneSoaringThePodcast is the best way to find us on YouTube. And of course, we have a grand old Patreon page, patreon.com/TurnOneSoaring. So if you really like what we're doing, check us out over there. It's really cool.
Oh, thank you. That was almost a mistake. So again, our first black card today is Blood Pact. It's two and a black for an instant. I like it already. Target player draws two cards and loses two life. This is a classic black ability. It costs a little more this time around, but it's an instant. So I could see slotting this in with the rest of those Sign in Blood, Knight's Whisper type effects. So this is just a great little common.
Yeah, I think the fact that it's an instant makes it worth considering because, you know, in black, obviously you're not doing a bunch of counterspell stuff, but you might be holding up some removal for a turn cycle. So if you are holding up that removal and nobody plays anything too impactful and you're just like, well, I'd rather just draw two cards, then you have Blood Pact as an option in those cases so that you're not wasting that mana. So that's definitely pretty cool. I love me a Knight's Whisper. I think that's one of my favorite cards in the game of Magic. It's just like draw two cards for two mana, but you know what? Blood Pact, I'm on a budget.
Yep.
I don't got $5 for a common.
Is that how much Knight's Whisper costs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. That's incredible.
Yeah, I have not looked in a while.
Wowie. You throw instant on anything. You know, it's just like, okay. I can think about that on my end step, sure. Or the end step before my turn. Oh, God. Okay, so next up we have Champion of the Perished. It's one black for a 1/1 zombie, and whenever another zombie enters the battlefield under your control, put a 1/1 counter on Champion of the Perished. And this is just a really fun kind of flavor win because we have the well-known Champion of the Perish from, is that from original Innistrad or the second time around? I think it's from the original set, right?
I think it was OG.
Yeah.
Yeah. OG Innistrad.
You know, and that one cares about humans. That one was in modern humans for a little bit. I don't know if it's still in the deck. I really haven't seen any modern decks for a while. Cause I, you know, don't go to game stores anymore. I'm just a hermit, but this is a very fun, poke at that card, Champion of the Perished.
Yeah, nice little zombie one drop. You don't get too many of those too often, so pretty cool.
Yeah, zombie one drop's really good, but then yeah, the flavor of it is just really on brings point. This card home. Yeah, on point.
Next up is our
on fleek. As
that's
they would
right.
Say.
That's right. I think that's back in vogue. Is saying that it was out for a while, but it's back.
Oh, Eric, you're so woke.
Yeah. Oh.
Our first transform card today is Covert Cut Purse. It's two and a black for a 2/1 human rogue, and whenever it enters the battlefield, destroy target creature you don't control that was dealt damage this turn, and it has disturb for 4 and a black. Because this is also our first Disturb card this episode. So Disturb is, you may cast this from your graveyard transformed for its Disturb cost. And of course the flip side is Covetous Geist. It's a 2/2 spirit rogue with flying and death touch. And if it would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead. I guess they put that on all these Disturb cards for good reason, of course. Yeah. I understand.
You can just keep casting it from your graveyard.
Well, that's what Escape was, right? I remember like reading Escape and being like, so you can just keep doing this? And you know, like in Brawl, I had a lot of fun with Escape. Like that card Cling to Dust, that is a great little like card engine throughout the game. And it's an instant, so yeah, like some of those Escape cards are choice.
Oh yeah.
Anyways, getting back to Covert Cut Purse Geist card here.
I like these kind of cards in Limited. I think that's really only where you're going to get value out of this most of the time. But then being able to bring this back for like another Death Touch creature just gives a lot of ability to kill your opponent's more troublesome creatures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sucks that it doesn't have Flash. I'll give it that.
Yeah. Dread Hound is next. It's 4BB for a 6/6 demon dog, and when it enters the battlefield, mill 3 cards, and whenever a creature dies or a creature card is put into a graveyard from a library, each opponent loses 1 life. A demon dog.
Yeah, I'm a horse.
I'm a demon horse dog.
I'm a horse dog. Oh no, honey, watch out for that horse dog.
Oh. Hey, 6 mana 6/6, can't go wrong.
This thing is a house. I was talking about this a little bit off air, but like just the fact, okay, the mill 3 cards, whatever, you might get like a ping or two if you're lucky, but like that's not where you're getting all the value at. Like whenever a creature dies, so counts your opponent's creatures too, makes blocking really difficult, especially if you manage to give your team death touch and start killing both sides of the table. And whenever a creature is put into a graveyard from a library, each opponent loses 1 life. So it's just like, it's got like this somewhat a half Sir Conrad effect. I think Sir Conrad also cares about things leaving the graveyard. Mm-hmm. But this would be fantastic in any kind of like Aristocrats deck if you're looking for just like a strong top end that also cares about like the Aristocrats theme. So super cool card.
And it's only uncommon. Seems like such a bomb.
Yeah. Eaten Alive is next. It's 1 black for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast this spell, sacrifice a creature or pay 3 and a black. Exile target creature or planeswalker.
Sure. Go bone shards. But it's exile.
Well, it's kind of like, what was it? Spark Harvest? For more of the spark?
Yeah.
But Spark Harvest, I'm pretty sure, was destroy creature or planeswalker. But same kind of like alternate paying.
Casting cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was that one from Amonkhet that I think was also a sorcery, but it was 4 and a black and you got to exile a creature. So it's nice that this gives you
Final Death.
Maybe. I can't think of the name. But it's nice again that this gives you the flexibility of both how you're gonna pay for it and that extra bit of being able to target a planeswalker with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I guess I didn't even realize, but I think this is how Champion of the Parish became Champion of the Perished.
Oh, how about that? Oh. Yeah. And it also confirms that planeswalkers can be turned into ghouls by a ghoul's bite.
There you go. So.
But, you're looking at the actual art for Champion of the Parish. He has the same shoulder pads and stuff. That's totally him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice one, Riley. Good catch.
He's getting bit.
Yeah.
Getting bit.
Hey, it's like the episode of Walking Dead. You got bit.
Yeah, you got bait, son. but you're definitely playing this in a deck that cares about sacrificing creatures for value. I would, if I was playing Eaten Alive, I'd probably play it alongside Bone Shards and Spark Harvest as well. I think there's another one that cares about, like for Modern Horizons 2, that cares about paying 1 or sacrificing a creature or discarding a card. So that's, I don't remember the name of that one, but... You know, do your homework.
Yeah, we're not here to remember the names of cards that is in this set review. Thank you very much. Ghoulish Procession is next. It's one and a black for an enchantment. Whenever one or more non-token creatures die, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token with decayed. This ability triggers only once each turn.
Ugh, only once.
I know.
At least it's each turn. Yeah, that's
yeah,
not the worst.
Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, no, this is... I think you still get some good value out of this.
Oh, yeah. And it's whenever one or more non-token creatures die, right? It can be anybody's.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. That's big.
Yeah. Geesa, Glorious Resurrector, is next. She's 2 black-black for a 4/4 legendary human wizard. If a creature an opponent controls would die, exile it instead. And at the beginning of your upkeep, put all creature cards exiled with Geesa, Glorious Resurrector onto the battlefield under your control. They gain decayed. It's a nice little... I like that at the end where they gain decayed, so it's not like a total bummer if the player mm-hmm. with Geesa got all your creatures. You know, it's like, okay, well, at least, you know, they
when it yeah. when it dies, it goes back yeah. to your graveyard.
Yeah, and it's...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you can only swing with it yeah, once.
So it's not... It's, yeah, it's,
can't block.
It feels kind of balanced.
I can confirm Geesa is really good in limited.
I mean, it seems like she would be.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she's a house. I mean, at the very worst, she's a 4-mana 4/4, but then just, like, making sure your opponents don't get death triggers from their things because it's exiling instead as a replacement effect. Like, that's pretty relevant. So, shuts down some aristocrat sacrifice shenanigans.
And you're getting to attack with them as well.
Yeah, or getting those ETBs. Like, honestly, if you see, like, a really sweet creature with an ETB effect on the other side of the battlefield and you just want to blow it up and get that effect for yourself, like, that's where Geesa is going to be pretty cool.
Nice.
Infernal Grasp is next. It's 1 and a black for an instant. Destroy target creature. You lose 2 life. Fucking fantastic.
More like wicked removal. Yeah. Like, holy smokes.
Yeah,
it's like 2 life.
Doomblade on steroids.
Fine. Yeah, it's like yeah, great, good. See, my only complaint is that it's not at common, so I can't replace it with I can't replace Doomblade with it in all my popper decks.
Yeah. So in all respect, like I think in 20 life formats, it's a little bit of a steeper cost, but in Commander, it's just like whatever. Right? Mm. Like, it's essentially the equivalent of, you know, lose 1 life, right? So, yeah, very, very little cost for such an efficient removal spell at instant speed.
Jeddar, Ghoul Caller of Nephalia is next. It's 1 and a black for a 1/1 legendary human wizard. At the beginning of your end step, this is my kind of card, if you control no creatures with decayed, create a 2/2 black zombie creature token with decayed. All right.
You like the end step clause?
Well, yeah, as opposed to an upkeep clause. Of course.
Yeah, kind of gives me those Ophiomancer vibes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it's not each turn, but, you know.
It's only your upkeep, though.
Yeah.
Your end step.
I think you're even going to... Your end step, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I think you're even going to get more... I think you're going to get more tokens out of the Ghoulish Procession in this card.
Overall.
Commander. Yeah.
I mean, it's a 2-mana 1/1. Like, what do you want?
I mean, like, definitely in limited, this is a really good card to have.
Yeah, or like standard. I could see this showing up in standard lists.
Maybe.
Yeah, just having like a shorter. What's that?
How does Champion the Parish care about non-token or no another zombie?
Yeah.
Ooh. Just there we go.
Go ham.
Yep.
Yeah.
Zombie aggro.
Get huge. Jaren, Corrupted Bishop, is next. He looks happy. It's 2 and a black for a 2/3 legendary human cleric. And whenever it enters the battlefield or another non-token human you control dies, you lose 1 life and create a 1/1 white human creature token. Then you can pay 2 generic mana. Target human you control gains a lifelink until end of turn. And then, at the beginning of your end step, if you have exactly 13 life, you may pay 4 black-black. If you do, transform Jaren into Ormondal the Corruptor. It's a 6/6 legendary demon with flying, trample, and lifelink, and you can sacrifice another creature to draw a card. I saw a meme for this side of the card, the flip side, and the flip side of Westvale Abbey, and it was Marlon Brando in The Godfather saying, like, look how they massacred my boy.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, because like OG Ormondal is like a 9/7 with like indestructible haste trample, lifelink, or whatever. Yeah. But the sacrifice clause is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a big setup.
Sure.
Right? And I think in Commander, if you're hovering around 13 life or like building your deck around wanting to be at 13 life, like maybe you're playing like a Triska Decaphobia meme deck, but but otherwise that's like a really risky game to play if you're trying to like control your life around 13.
Yeah, like especially in Commander, I think the other Ormondal is easier to get to than this one.
Yeah. Oh, and even that's a pretty steep cost, right? Yeah. Sacrificing creatures.
Yeah.
This is kind of interesting in constructed play though, because like if you have a humans deck, just like the Jaren side of things is actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah. Another non-token human. Yeah. So just like I could see this, easily in like an aristocrat style deck where you're just like getting value upon value from your creatures dying.
Yeah, and even when he enters, you still get a 1/1 right away. Mm-hmm. So you're getting like 3/4 of power for your 3 mana here. Yeah.
And you can kind of use that ability to give somebody lifelink to kind of control your life total.
Yeah, for sure, too. Yeah.
Lord of the Forsaken is next. It's 4BB for a 6/6 demon with flying and trample. And you can pay 1, sacrifice another creature, target player mills 3 cards. Then you can pay 1 life and add a generic mana to your mana pool, which you can only spend to cast a spell from your graveyard. So all those juicy flashback cards. I'd be a little more excited if you had haste.
I guess it's like I'd just be a little,
I don't know. It feels like there's something missing, and I don't like. I guess I just don't know where to put this.
I know. It does a bunch of things, but it doesn't like have like a home run to it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't like unless you're like really doing like an ambitions cost. Like flashing back an ambitious cost or to get like, I don't even know what it does anymore. It's so over costed. Yeah. But even like you're going out of your way to get a 6-mana 6/6 onto the battlefield to like flash back spells from your graveyard. Like, I don't know what you're doing here.
It's like, I guess you could have like a Grixis flashback deck and like, if you get this out, I guess you can cast them for cheaper, but like, yeah.
It just seems like a lot of setup. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're getting 6-mana 6/6, like, you're probably just gonna like beat people's faces in with it anyway. Like, do you need that like channel graveyard ability?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what happens, Lord of the Forsaken. I'm gonna be interested to see the price of this mythic in a couple months.
It's gonna be a bulk.
Bulk mythic. That's why they created mythic, so we could have bulk ones.
Yeah. So you get those extra units.
When you get the good mythic.
Hey guys, don't buy the singles you need. Open packs. Wink. No, it's the opposite. Opposite actually. Okay, Mask of Grizzlebrand is next. It's 1BB for a legendary artifact equipment. Equipped creature has flying and lifelink, and whenever equipped creature dies, you may pay X life, where X is its power. If you do, draw X cards, and the equip cost is 3.
Man, this is what I want to be doing with Lord of the Forsaken, is just equipping it with a Mask of Grizzlebrand and sacrificing it or something like that.
Just like 12 mana, no big deal.
There you go. Mask of Grizzlebrand's really cool. Like, it's a little bit more of a setup cost at equip 3, but some pretty big payoff if you can like sack something with like 4 plus power and draw like 4 plus cards. Yep. So,
and the flavor calling back to Grizzlebrand is really cool.
Yeah,
as well.
That'd be a sick Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Hey, check out my mask.
Who am I? Do you know who I am? It's like, no, dude. It's obscure. For sure.
It's you're still too obscure.
Okay, the Meat Hook Massacre is next. It's 6BB for a legendary enchantment. When the Meat Hook Massacre enters the battlefield, each creature gets -X/-X until end of turn. And whenever a creature you control dies, each opponent loses 1 life. Whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you gain 1 life.
This is a super cool card.
Yeah, yes, any kind of like board wipe effect like this, like a Toxic Deluge kind of effect, is just fantastic. because it just, it, you know, just deals with all those problem abilities that make it difficult to remove creatures, like regenerate.
And then, oh yeah, you're gone.
And it leaves behind like a blood artist effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could really see, like, you know, if you have some sort of combo to, like, get a bunch of tokens on the battlefield, then just Meat Hook Massacre and, like, win.
Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think in Aristocrats decks, like, sometimes the best way to win is just to build a big board and, like, destroy it.
Yeah.
So this does double duty.
Morbid Opportunist is next. It's 2 and a black for a 1/3 human rogue. Whenever one or more other creatures die, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn.
This card, I think, is pretty sweet for Commander.
Hell yeah.
You gotta, like, draw a card per turn, like, whenever things are dying and stuff. And, like, this isn't a big enough target for somebody really to, like, singly remove it. There's gonna be stuff that's bigger out there. And stuff, incidentally, dies all the time, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it's a creature, so you turn your removal spells, like your, whatever, 2 mana, destroy creature, lose 2 life, turn it into, you know, destroy creature, draw a card. It's pretty big.
Tainted Adversary is next. It's 1 and a black for a 2/3 zombie with death touch. When Tainted Adversary enters the battlefield, you may pay 2 and a black any number of times. When you pay this cost one or more times, put that many 1/1 counters on Tainted Adversary. Then create twice that many 2/2 black zombie creature tokens with Decayed. He's tainted.
Don't judge my taint.
Somebody tickled his taint too hard.
What?
I wonder if that's how he lost his arm, from tickling taints.
That's a story.
Is that two and a black cost, like, too steep for a 2/2 creature token?
Okay, so base
for 5 mana, you're getting like 6 power, but then, like, those 2 tokens die, you know, if you're attacking.
So you probably want to look at this more as like, okay, I'm playing a 2 mana 2/3 with death touch.
Yeah.
Right, so good old, like, Vampire Nighthawk with no lifelink.
Trevor's
no
gonna flying. Hit it. It's like, what the fuck is this? It's a rare? Come on.
It's a zombie. That's
mythic.
Oh, yeah, it is mythic.
It's a relevant tribe.
It's mythic, yeah.
Yeah, it's a zombie, it's a relevant tribe, and in the late game, you could dump a bunch of mana into it to get a bunch more zombies. So, more sacrifice fodder, more Champion of the Perished triggers, more ETBs, more death triggers. Like, I think it's probably going to be a solid role player. I don't think it's a critical card. I don't think it's going to be like an overperformer by any means, but, like, it's probably one of those cards that it's like, it's good at its baseline and it's better if you have the time.
Yeah, and
for
all
it.
These cards that have this pay this cost any number of times scale well with the game and scale really well with a long game of Commander. So, you know, they do feel good. They're really, like, they're really even keel kind of cards, which I like.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's a multi kicker effect, right? Where it's like, in the early game, it's a relevant card. In the late game, it's relevant, right? Like, it's not going to be a completely dead card. I think that's where the strength in this particular type of 2-drop is.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, it's tainted. Our first red card is Ardent Elementalist. It's 3 and a red for a 2/1 human shaman, and when it enters the battlefield, return target instant or sorcery card from your graveyard to your hand. This is like an easier to cast Archaeomancer.
Yeah. I love Archaeomancer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a great little card.
It's beautiful. It's everything I've always wanted.
There you go.
And it's common.
It's common.
It's common, so
yeah,
it's going to be relevant in Pauper. Boros Control.
Tainted Boros.
It's pretty ardent.
Oh, yeah. Good one. Next up is Bloodthirsty Adversary. It's 1 and a red for a 2/2 vampire with haste, and when it enters the battlefield, you may pay 2 and a red any number of times. When you pay this cost one or more times, put that many 1/1 counters on Bloodthirsty Adversary. Then exile up to that many target instant and or sorcery cards with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard and copy them. You may cast any number of the copies without paying their mana costs. This can be a real haymaker.
So they can't reprint
Snappy?
Snapcaster Mage into a standard set, obviously. But we have two it's too powerful. But we do have this. This is quite interesting. Bloodthirsty Adversary is a really interesting take, I think, mm-hmm. on that kind of card. And I could even see this being played possibly in like some modern decks. Because the way to look at Bloodthirsty Adversary is like you can be a lot more aggressive with this. Because if you do cast another spell from graveyard, this will be a 3-3 with haste that you can attack with right away. Say you're in Jund, you can get a removal spell. So you're killing something, then whatever you have on the board, plus this is another 3-3 already attacking as well. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even like a Ponza deck, you know, bring back those destroy your opponent's lands spells yeah. from the graveyard, you know?
Yeah, yeah, Stone Rain.
Yeah, right? Like, I think hitting a Stone Rain off this is pretty... Like, you're adding more Stone Rains to your deck, and like, that's just what yeah. that deck wants.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, this definitely, out of these cards that we've talked about in this episode and last week, this is definitely the one that I would be most excited to play with in a constructed format. Burn Down the House is next. It's 3 red for a sorcery. Choose one. It deals 5 damage to each creature and each planeswalker, or create 3/1/1 red devil creature tokens with. When this creature dies, it deals 1 damage to any target. They gain haste until end of turn. So
the roof is on fire.
So 5 damage is gonna destroy most creatures and planeswalkers, especially if you're casting this on turn 5 in a game of Commander. But even in the yeah. late game, this that you know 5 damage is gonna do quite a lot of work. So don't underestimate how much 5 damage is. That's my lesson for today.
Yeah. Well, there was Hour of Devastation?
Yeah.
We had that Bolas spell.
Yeah, Hour of Devastation.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's literally yeah. Yeah. Yep, that's what that card is called. Oh man.
Yeah, it's a flexible Hour of Devastation, mm-hmm. right? Like where you know, on one hand, you could wipe the board, or if you're ahead, for some reason, your board wipe can just give you more creatures to work with. Like,
yeah,
probably playing some sort of like Rakdos Sacrifice deck where you can just turn these into little machine guns.
Pew pew pew,
pinging down the board.
yeah. The second choice with this one's definitely pretty funny.
Cathartic Pyre is next. It's 1 red for an instant. Choose one. It deals 3 damage to target creature or planeswalker. Or discard up to 2 cards, then draw that many cards. Just nice little...
This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, this is some removal that you can turn into some, like, card filtering? This
kind of reminds me of, like, a Braid, but better.
I think they both have their situations.
Yeah. I think a Braid is pretty freaking strong. Because, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, a Braid is going to be a 1-for-1. But, like, if you are using this to draw 2 and then discard 2, I guess it's up 2, so you could even just draw 1, discard 1. Like,
yeah,
you are technically down a card. But it can definitely help make things a little bit more consistent or make your graveyard matters things work or make your discard matters things work. Like, Riel the Everwise, mm-hmm. anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pay 2, draw 4. Thank you.
Yeah, even sometimes in your burn deck, you're like, oh, I'm drawing all my lands. What the hell? And this can kind of, you know, filter through more of that.
Okay, you guys are just making my point for me. Next up, we have Curse of Shaken Faith. It's 1 red for an enchantment curse. Enchants a player. Whenever enchanted player casts a spell other than the first spell they cast each turn or copies a spell, Curse of Shaken Faith deals 2 damage to them.
You should put it on Riley.
What? No, I was going to say it right
already, on Storm decks. I already made a shitty proxy of it, and I put it in my deck. It was one of my 2 swaps.
Yeah, you put an Aura Curse in your Artifact Matters deck.
and then the other card I put in was Curse of Exhaustion, also for you.
Yeah, that's
right. Good. But yeah, this card hates on Storm. It's a pretty neat card like that. I mean, like take just because I play Modern a lot. I think there's already enough hate cards in there that also hate on other decks, so that there's no real point to play this card. I think if you're looking at some like Modern hate for Storm, but I think this can still find some place maybe in you know an aura curse like commander deck and stuff like that. So it's an interesting path to take for like a card like this, I think.
Yeah, unless you like really want to die on the hill of hating on Storm and you just make a deck specifically around hating on
and you just go trolling. Electric Revelation is next. It's 2 and a red for an instant. As an additional cost to cast this spell, discard a card. You draw 2 cards, and it has flashback for 3 and a red.
So I don't think we've had a card like this that has flashback on it yet, right?
Like a
Revenge Effect? What do you mean? A Cathartic Reunion or something. Like all those cards
You may.
As an additional cost.
Not in red, but we had... what was the Jumpstart card in blue? The one for 3 and a blue?
Chemistry's Insight.
Chemistry's Insight. But that's still like, that's just drawing two. It's just like, this directly is like a Cathartic Reunion that has flashback.
Yeah, like, I mean, if you jumpstart it, you have to discard a card as an additional card.
Riley, it's not a Cathartic Reunion.
Yeah.
Okay? Just get over it.
I'm just saying, the flashback on this card is the same as jumpstart.
Sure, yes.
So basically, this
I'm saying this is Cathartic Reunion with flashback.
This is the first time this has ever happened.
But Cathartic Reunion gets you to discard too.
Does it? What's the one that's just one?
It's like this would be like a Thrill of Possibility because it's instant speed.
Thank you.
But it Thrill of Possibility is 2 mana, not 3.
And there's also Tormenting Voice.
Mm-hmm. That's also 2 mana.
Yeah.
All right, well, first time ever, Electric Reverse Revelation.
Right,
we have Falcon Wrath. We have
one
Falcon
man
Wrath. I just don't know why Riley wasn't getting on board with that one. I don't know why he's got to be like this sometimes with his fucking Chemist's Insight. Superiority complex. Okay, next up we have Falcon Wrath Pit Fighter. It's 1 red for a 2-1 Vampire Warrior, and it has an activated ability. For 1 and a red... you discard a card, sacrifice a vampire, draw 2 cards, but you can only activate it if an opponent lost life this turn.
Yes. All them hoops.
No kidding.
Yes, this please. Is a 1 mana 2-1, though.
Yeah, I'd play this in Commander if I was doing like a Reanimator deck. Like, I already play it like an Insolent Neonate.
Yeah,
and it
can sacrifice itself, right? So if you're in a pinch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm in a pinch
you
a lot.
Are. That's why you get cursed.
Yeah.
Okay, another transform card. Flame Channeler is next. It's 1 and a red for a 2/2 human wizard. When a spell you control deals damage, transform it. Flip side is Embodiment of Flame, a 3/3 elemental wizard. Whenever a spell you control deals damage, put a flame counter on Embodiment of Flame, and then you can pay 1 generic mana, remove a flame counter from Embodiment of Flame, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn.
Seems cool, like, in standard burn. I feel like this should be kind of good.
Yeah, it's definitely value. You know, it feels kind of slow, but having, you know, not played with it, it's hard to say. Because in the right deck, you know, you could be wheeling and dealing and keeping things low to the ground.
Yeah, it's like if it sticks around, it's a steady stream of card advantage, right? I think, like, it's definitely strong if you're building around it, but I think it limited. This was a little bit hyped during, like, spoiler season for limited, but how it plays out most of the time is that you just don't have a density of burn spells to keep it going. And so I think that density is really, really important.
Yeah, I think you really need to be able to build around it.
Geist Flame Reservoir is next. It's 2 and a red for an artifact. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a charge counter on it. Then you can pay 1 and a red, tap it, remove any number of charge counters. It deals that much damage to any target. Or you can pay 1 and a red, tap it, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn.
Some pretty good card advantage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because you can still play as well for lands. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked this in limited. Actually, it got like passed to me, I don't know, in like pack 2 or something like that, like mid-pack. And I read it, and at first I thought that the last ability had you like remove a charge counter to like do that exile effect.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. Like, it's just like, if you have the mana, just do it. So yeah, it's like a nice, you know, steady stream of card advantage. And I mean, being able to have like a removal spell on a stick essentially, is pretty strong. So pretty mm-hmm. cool card.
Yeah,
I like it.
Immolation is next. It's one red for an aura enchant creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/-2. And I do believe we just got a card like this in Strixhaven, but it's black, does essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of cool too, right? Because you can be aggressive with it, but also if you want to just use mm-hmm. it as removal, yeah, exactly. you can do that.
Yeah, it is a reprint from...
Is it?
From Fallen Empires.
Oh, nice. Wow, the price, wow. price yeah. of that just tanked.
I don't think Fallen Empires has a ton of value to begin no. with.
No, it doesn't. Oh, wow. I actually didn't notice that was a reprint. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Lunar Frenzy is next. It's X and a red for an instant. Target creature you control gets +X/+0 and gains first strike and trample until end of turn.
This card is a house.
Yeah, it's flexible combat trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, being instant's pretty sweet.
It just scales so well. Yeah. And it just wrecks people in combat. I mean, obviously, just like any combat trick, it suffers from all the issues of a combat trick and being like blown up by removal. But
yep.
I feel like sometimes combat tricks get a bad rap in Commander. And like Lunar Frenzy is a pretty strong ability. Like I would be open to like considering this for like an aggressive deck that just wants to win combats.
Yeah, because even casting this for 2 mana can like save your creature and kill theirs.
Yeah, and push some damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think we should all be running more Berserks in our green decks because people just don't expect it. Especially, I'm not kidding, especially in Commander because people, they don't expect it. And how often in Commander are you just like, oh, 30 damage? I'm at 40 life. I'll just take it because, you know, I can. And it's just like the life total, it seems a little less... I mean, life is always a resource in this game, but it seems like in Commander, it's more of a resource than in any other format that I play anyway. So I agree with what you're saying, Riley. I think they do get a bad rap, and because of that, they're not played as much as they probably should be. Because, you know, I'm a big fan of, like, Tainted Strike, one black, you give a creature, I think it's like +1/+0 and it infect, because you can just, much like Berserk, you can just like kill somebody with it, and it doesn't even have to be your creature. That's a really good point.
Yeah, no, Berserk's yes, very good.
It is, and it's kind of gotten pricey again from since it's Conspiracy 2 printing, but that was like I guess that was like 4 or 5 years ago at this point. Anyways, Moonvale Regent is next. It's 3 and a red for a 4/4 dragon with flying, and whenever you cast a spell, you may discard your hand. If you do, draw a card for each of that spell's colors. And when Moonvale Regent dies, it deals X damage to any target, where X is the number of colors among permanents you control.
This is a sweet-ass dragon. Because I think, like, even in a burn deck, you're like, okay... I am empty-handed, draw a card, cast a spell, deal some damage. I discard my hand, and I get to draw another card because it was a red card.
That's a really good way to think about this. Instead of like, oh, you know, I'm trying to get the most colors just as like a as a value engine.
Yeah, it's because it's already a 4/4 flyer, so it's like it's a good body. And then you're like, yeah, it's just more card advantage.
Yeah, I like that you said that. I've been thinking about like brewing around like a Rakdos self-discard deck. And just the fact that you get both sides, right? Like you get that discard and then that incidental draw as well.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So like get Hellbent and then just start like churning through.
Yeah, super strong.
Play with Fire is next. It's a 1 red for an instant. It deals 2 damage to any target. If a player is dealt damage this way, scry 1. I fucking love this card.
It's shock with upside.
Just good love shock. It. No kidding. It's just such a fantastic little card. You know, in a burn deck, how often are you are dealing damage to the player's face? So, yeah, why not scry and just smooth out your draws for more burn spells?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you take 2? I'm going to look at the top of the deck and I'm going to figure out if I want this on the top of my deck or not. Okay. So just deal with it.
Yeah, for sure.
Too bad it wasn't surveilled.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Seize the Storm is next. It's 4 and a red for a sorcery. Create a red elemental creature token with trample, and this creature's power and toughness are each equal to the number of instant and sorcery cards in your graveyard, plus the number of cards with flashback you own in exile. And then it has flashback for 6 and a red.
Man, I didn't even realize it gave him trample. Like, holy crap. That's really good.
Yeah, you can just, like, easily pump out a bunch of damage with this card.
Yeah, this card is great. This card was great before I realized that it gave him trample. Yeah.
Too bad it doesn't have haste, though.
Whatever, I'll figure it out.
Okay, and our last card today, and our last red card, is a transform card. It's Smoldering Egg. So for all you players with fair Atlapalani decks out there, this might be an inclusion. It's 1 and a red for an 0/4 dragon egg with defender. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a number of ember counters on Smoldering Egg equal to the amount of mana spent to cast that spell. Then, if Smoldering Egg has 7 or more ember counters on it, remove them and transform Smoldering Egg into Ashmouth Dragon. It's a 4/4 dragon with flying, and whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it deals 2 damage to any target.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, thing in the egg.
Yeah, it is a real thing in the egg.
Yeah, it's cool how this card works.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, 7 seems like a lot, but, you know, in the right deck, it probably happens pretty quick.
I don't know, yeah. 3 spells?
Yeah, like it's counting its mana exactly. value, right? Like it's not just counting like the sheer number of spells. So it's like you play this, then you play like a 3 mana spell into a 4 mana spell, and boom, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, then you have a 4/4 dragon as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely a fun card.
And it's just shocking things left, right, and center.
Yeah, it's too bad if it shocks a player, you don't get to scry one.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I don't think that would be too much, honestly. All right, everybody. Well, with that, we're going to bring this installment of our Midnight Hunt set review to a close. Next week, we're going to be back to discuss the green, gold, colorless, and land cards from the set in the conclusion of our series. But until then, thank you for listening, and take it easy out there.
You better.
Take it any way you can get it.
Thanks, everybody.
See ya.
Bye now.